Every young piano student learns Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. Richard Good was no exception, but the real challenge was giving it a fresh interpretation as an adult. 5 years ago, the Book of the Month Club approached him to record the complete cycle of Beethoven's sonatas. Volumes 1 and 2 have been released, and now Good is currently finishing the cycle for Nonesuch Records. Good studied piano with Rudolf Serkin and was a founding member of the Lincoln Center Chamber Music Society. Good's album of Brahms piano and clarinet sonatas with Richard Stoltzman won a Grammy in 1983. I asked Good how he reacted when he was first approached to record the Beethoven sonata cycle.
I had not played all the Beethoven sonatas, and I hesitated a little bit, perhaps 10 seconds, before I said yes. And that was about 5 years ago.
There have been several pianists who have recorded the complete cycle of sonatas before. Did you ever ask yourself, do we need another volume of the complete sonatas?
Well, of course, you ask yourself things like that. But in the end, you do what you do anyway, in the hope that, I guess in the hope that you'll play them well enough to justify yet another complete set. There have been very many, that's true. There were a couple of Beethoven sonatas that I have a little difficulty with. Even so, strangely enough, the famous ones, the Apachon and the Waldstein, the most famous, were the two that I had the hardest time, perhaps because of over-familiarity, because maybe they had assumed a sort of symbolic significance in my mind.
If the Appassionata is an example of a sonata that you had difficulty with, what's an example of one that you really enjoy playing very much and that you feel very close to?
Many, but I would say any of the late sonatas that I always felt close to, or many others.
Ask you what I realize is probably a foolish question. When you're recording in the studio, do you have music on the piano?
Occasionally, mostly not.
So that means that you've really memorized all the sonatas that you're playing.
Well, I have usually for performance anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have, I know this will sound really naive, but I'm not a performer. I don't really trust my memory, and I find it really astounding to really be able to remember that much, and I wonder what the memory process is like for you, if you just, by playing it a lot, have it memorized, or if it's something you have to systematize and work at?
Combination. Mostly if you play it a lot, I think it usually comes by memory. It varies also because most of the music I play, which is 18th and 19th century music, is written in harmonic style that I'm familiar with, and after a while can sort of play it by ear. And the patterns are familiar and so forth. If I play 20th century music, it's much harder to memorize. If I play Bach, it's also very difficult. I think this is actually a thorn in many pianists' side, only we don't talk about it that much, the idea of having to play without music. I think that pianists would have larger repertoires if they did that.
So you would occasionally like to have the music with you on the piano.
I have done that. Uh-huh. I have done that. And actually, you have to get used to that, too. You have to get used to having the kind of freedom that you would if you played by heart. There is something about not having anything in front of you and being completely visually and physically free. But after all, people play chamber music with the music all the time, and nobody complains, so why not?
You play on contemporary pianos, right? I mean, do you think it's important to play Beethoven on authentic instruments, on the instruments of the period?
So far, I would say no. So far, I think it could be very revealing, but I feel, after all is said and done, piano in Beethoven's day was not yet completely satisfying voice. And I still think, from listening to reconstructions of Beethoven instruments at the time, that it's not sufficient, that the treble is particularly is still not eloquent, not singing enough, and that it doesn't fulfill what I hear as the requirements for the music, particularly the later music. There are many wonderful things, but I still feel on balance that the modern instrument is capable of doing almost all of those things, and the old instrument is not capable of doing some of the marvelous things that the modern piano can.
How did you start studying piano?
I was intended to study the violin. I started singing. I was imitating various pop singers on the radio, and my parents thought that was nice. Maybe I should do something about that. So my father had played the violin for a couple of years, although my family are not musicians. He thought that would be a logical instrument. And so a piano was the first stepping stone to playing the violin, but I never got beyond the piano. I liked it. It was sufficient.
You said that when your parents wanted to get you an instrument, it was because you had been singing along with pop records on the radio. What got you directed more toward classical music than pop?
You know, I've never thought of that. You mean I could have done something completely different.
I don't know. You could have been a pop star.
I don't know. I never thought of that. I actually still like some pop music, though not rock, but it became secondary very, very early on.
I think of you, and I don't know if you think this is accurate or not, but I think of you as a somewhat restrained player and as someone who's probably trying to always avoid what might be perceived as cheap sentiment in music.
I think of myself as a hard-on-sleeve player who never tries to avoid cheap sentiment in music.
Really? Okay.
But I play music which doesn't have, for the most part, cheap sentiment in it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting.
No, what makes you think of yourself as a hard-on-sleeve player?
Because that's the way I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, that's what I love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems to me that music is basically, it's everything but an emotional expression above all. And what I would like to be able to do is be as direct and open and intense as possible emotionally when I play. I have to admit that when I studied with Serkin, I had a fantasy, which was never, fulfilled, which was that I would play a piece, you know, and I would be inspired that particular week, and I would play a piece, and there would be a silence at the end, and I would turn around to find him sobbing helplessly in the corner. It never happened.
Oh, that's great. When you're done with a record and the record is released, do you listen back to it then?
No. I listen to it before it's released, and then I almost never listen to it again.
Why not?
I think in terms of the... Usually if I do listen to it, I will hear things that I'd rather do differently, and then I'd rather not know about it. And I think that's also... I don't know if it's with me specifically or with most performers, is that you do think in terms of the next performance and not the one that you gave. And although it's probably an illusion, you always think that your next performance is going to be the better one. And that's the performance that you care about.